You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. I hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know if it had to be done, you did it. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we appreciate and love you for it. Continue doing it regardless of whatever obstacles are thrown in your path. You're going to do it because that's what we must do. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com and look for podcast and click on that and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that and you'll see programs that have been dated and titled. And some of the newer programs that I did recently will be on there for you to check out. And just instead of the usual logo, which I love, the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. But we'll have other kind of memes and other kind of information up there, little synopsis of what the program was about. So it'll help you say, yeah, I want to listen to that. I want to hear that. So other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, my program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times I'm going to give are Eastern times. Right after my program on Monday and Wednesday, The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. On Monday evenings from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. He has a great program scheduled this Tuesday. You definitely want to check it out. That's tomorrow from 8 to 10. A very good program on our mental enslavement, Brother Dr. William Rogers. Broadcasting from Milwaukee. Right on. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard every Friday at 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me. It is Sister POC. And her program, Revive, on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot
and Brother Richard. Didn't get a chance to listen last night, but I'm quite sure it was a good program with good content. And then every Monday through Friday, right here on Time for an Awakening Media, it's the Warren Ballantyne Show from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. Warren Ballantyne Show, Monday through Friday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. You can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Go online and check out all the products that are produced by us. But if you are in the Atlanta area and you can get to the Greenbrier Mall located off of Highway 166, Georgia Highway 166, right off of 285, I-285, or right, you know, you can catch it right off of I-75, 85. I'm telling you how to get there. You can go to the Greenbrier Mall and check out the kiosks they have at We Buy Black. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother, Bomani Tahemba. The number to call is 404-931-9429. And you can check out his trip. He has taken many of our brothers and sisters on tours to Africa. He has a trip coming up November 22nd to December 2nd. Going to Johannesburg, South Africa, and Cape Town, South Africa. And then the latter part of January, excuse me, the latter part of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he's going to Ghana again. And you can check him out. And the number to call is 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours and the most recent tour this past May, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Bomani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna located here in Atlanta in the West End, right on Abernathy. And, of course, they have everything. The store hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, on Sunday from 1 to 3. They are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. And like I said, they got furniture, they got clothing, they got artwork, figurines, all kinds of good stuff. And of course, they have books. It is a bookstore, cultural center and bookstore. And if they don't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. They have Kwanzaa kits. Get ready for Kwanzaa. It's coming up. Get your Kwanzaa kits. They also have the Nazgas shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. They have that there. They also have a history program of Know Thyself, the African history class Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. But if you cannot make that class for whatever reason, but you like that information, you can get the History Multimedia Library, the African History Multimedia Library. And when I got it, I have 4.5 terabytes, but there have been 2.5. terabytes. So now it's 7 terabytes of African enlightenment at your disposal. So I'm going to get my 250. I know. I think Baba Olatunji talked to me. It cost about $50, something like that. I'm not sure, but I'll talk to him again. But that's great. The Medu bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall, right across from the We Buy Black kiosk. That's right. Right there. If you're at the We Buy Black kiosk, look over your shoulder, and there it is, the Medu bookstore. They have books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kinds of other stuff beside books. And, of course, the same applies. If they don't have the book you're looking for, they'll get it. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu bookstore. The Cultural Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia. They're having a festival this Saturday. Founder of Black-owned Cultural Center and Bookstore in Atlanta to launch free festival. Actually, he's in Lithonia, but of course, you know how it goes. I always say Atlanta, you know. Kazinde Ajamu has always had an eye and heart on bringing African culture and history to the forefront, especially among the younger generations. It's not just in his nature, but part of his mission at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. On Saturday, September 28th, Ajama will take his passion for cultural immersions to the next level with the first ever Black Dot Cultural Center and Arts Festival at 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. From 12 noon to 8 p.m., the one-of-a-kind event will feature food, fun, and performances by many people within our community. And a special guest, Mekon Young. I'm not sure who Mekon Young is, but I'm quite sure it's going to be interesting and good. For me, it's important that we come together and really get to experience all of the different forms and aspects of our culture firsthand. We're tapping into all of their senses for a day filled with celebrating African culture, said Ajamu, the festival host and owner of Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Much like Ajamu provides access to African artisans and creators of this at his cafe, attendees can support and shop with a variety of vendors and handicraft producers. They can also get a taste of the wildly popular vegan restaurant Green Love Kitchen while strolling the streets of Lithonia. The festival is just one way that Ajamu, affectionately known as Baba Kaz, gives back and helps his customers move from the unconscious state to the conscious knowing. He does it every day with a unique offering at his store where shoppers can get the finest African coffee, books, and fashions with sides of wisdom and cultural sharing. Neighboring businesses and people from Lithonia and beyond appreciate Ajamu's commitment to promoting positivity and community. Supporters and members of the community, including Mayor Deborah Jackson, will also take part in the celebration. Additionally, the festival will shine the spotlight on young and emerging talent, from African drummers to spoken word artists. If anyone knows the importance of exploring and uncovering African culture, particularly for the next generation, it's Ajamu. He strategically weaved culture into everything he does. The name of his business reflects how Black Dot is an ancient African symbol for blackness. In 2014, he published his first book, Think Black, The Manifesto, a thought-provoking read centered on the importance of American African businesses, family, and community. He also designed a line of legacy t-shirts and hoodies to complement the Think Black brand and to promote pride. The day-long street festival will incorporate the many facets of African culture that Ajamu celebrates daily. For more information about this free event, visit bit.ly/blackdotcafe. And of course, you can contact at info.blackdotcc.com. Or the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. ULU, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics. As we like to say, family-centered economics. Our Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. to 10. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And that's from 9 to 10 every Thursday night. The Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast. Akabin Institute. The work that Baba and Yabarudi are doing needs to be supported, brothers and sisters, and you know it. So please make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. But if you want to pay by PayPal or Cash App or even make it a monthly, whatever you want to do, and whatever amount you can, please do to PayPal and Cash App. And put Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabby Aririo, she's in Haiti, in the northeastern part of Haiti, and in the rural area, doing fantastic things for the people of Haiti. Go online, sonjay-haiti.org, sonjay-haiti.org, and check out the great things that she's doing in terms of education, in terms of developing some businesses, the chicken farm and so forth, all great things. Check it out. Black Talk Radio Network, the 2019 Media Fund, the Black Talk Radio Network Project, 2019 Media Fund. Brothers and sisters, please donate. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. If you're on that page, you don't have to go nowhere else. Just scroll down a little bit and look to your right. The donation button is right there. Click on that and give whatever you want to give. But please support the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one podcast for black folks, for African Americans, for American Africans in this country and around the world. Inye Sesim, the Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. September 22nd. When a man thinks one thing and says another, he cuts himself off from himself. He breaks the sacred unity, the reflection of cosmic unity, creating discord in and around him. Ayahente ba. Having a fundamental moral deficit, Europeans make for the best liars because, from birth, they are socialized in the arts of manipulation and circumventation. As children, they are allowed to disagree with adults as if they are adults. They therefore receive extensive practice in these arts in their efforts to get what they want from adults who hold the financial and political keys to their temporary happiness. They are forced to learn a lie better in order to ensure that they win arguments with wiser and more experienced liars. In becoming initiated into the European collective, they become master liars while they are still but children. This is not an accident. It is an intentional part of their child-rearing agenda designed to produce offspring like themselves. Their children are raised to fight with them in preparation for fighting all others. Aggression is inbred. Affirm, I know that lies are heard. Affirm, I know that lies are heard. September 23rd. Miseducation is the process by which field niggas are converted into house niggas. Or you could read it like this. Miseducation is the process by which field niggers are converted into house niggers. So whichever one of those you want to use, because which I don't use them, but whichever one suits you, then you go ahead with that. Gloria, peace. For African students, higher Eurocentric education promotes alienation from self, family, community, and nation. To become successful within the Western academic setting, they must first become something other than themselves. For most of us, in order to become assimilated into the Caucasian world, we must first give up some of whatever African remains in us. And the further we move into their world, the more of us we have to surrender. This implies not only to those of us following that unnatural path, but also those of us dying to be in it. So sad is the African who has completely made him or herself over to the European, yet remains ignorant. Many an African student has fallen from ancestral grace into an abyss still outside whiteness through this rancorous betrayal of self. Eurocentric higher miseducation promotes an absolute isolation of African students from our community by spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally uprooting them. This enables near total mind control, modeling the command of the pimp over the prostitute. However, to unwittingly all students, the experience introduces them to a delusional world of power and recognition. Elitism is strongly, although subtly, promoted. Elitism is strongly, although subtly, promotism. Contact, if any, with inferiors or outsiders or locals is solely for the purpose of intellectual challenge and scientific exploitation. Affirm, I am highly educated African in our world. Affirm, I am a highly educated African in our world. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Brothers and sisters, I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you had a chance to do all the things, as I always say, you need to do, should do, must do, can do, blah, blah, blah. But I really do. I hope that you had a great weekend. I hope you did a lot of good things, because a lot of good things need to be done, if you ask me, right? If you ask me. Yeah. I'm going to promote Renoco's trip. And I really want to thank Renoco for introducing me to Sister Dorothea Bess, as we affectionately call her, D-Bess, and who will be a constant contributor on the African Perspectives program on a periodic basis. And we're trying to schedule up some days where we will come in and have a conversation on our history and the people that she has studied and have good detailed information about. So I want to thank Baba Renoco and truly thank Sister D-Bess and hope she had a great weekend and look forward to talking with her very soon. Baba Renoco, and you can go online to drrenoco.com, drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. He is going to Senegal, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, January 21st to February 4th, 2020. This is going to be a fabulous trip, my first group tour for 2020. We visit three fascinating West African countries. We have an excellent tour operator, a great price, superb hotels, wonderful cuisine, history, arts, culture, plenty of shopping opportunities, and of course, you're going to have Renoco Rashidi. Per person, it's $3,856, $3,856, and that's a sharing a twin room. If you want a single room, you add $680 to that if you want to get a single room, okay? And this just in a few days ago, last week, special itinerary update message from Baba Renoco. We have made an important addition to the program itinerary. We have just received permission in Senegal to visit the radiocarbonating laboratory established by the great historian and scholar, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. That is exciting. That is exciting. So on the 21st, Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, you're going to depart from New York, from Kennedy Airport, via Delta Airlines, flight 216 at 7:30 p.m., check in. You should check in by 3 p.m., Terminal 4. Then on Wednesday, the 22nd, you're going to arrive at the International Airport, and you have a meet and greet by our hospitality staff, assistance for luggage and portage and transfer in private coach through the Ibis Hotel, I-B-I-S Hotel, immediate check-in, balance of the morning fee. Balance of the morning is free. Afternoon lectures, Sheikh Anja lectures, Africa, Mother of World Civilization. The lectures will be delivered by Brother Renoco and professor, and a professor from the university in Dakar. And then I'm not going to give you the whole itinerary, but that's just a snippet. But there's some great things and great things to see in Senegal. And of course, that statue. The African family, just beautiful, that beautiful statue, you know, monument rather. It's not a statue, it's a monument, you know. And then, of course, you get a chance to go to Gori Island, you know, where our point of departure for our people and the Door of No Return in Gory Island. You know, and so then it's off to Guinea-Bissau. It's off to Gambia. I apologize. After that, it's off to Gambia. And you will learn from the community of Jofare. If that sounds familiar, it should be, because it is in Gambia, where Kunta Kinte came from. Alex Haley wrote the book Roots of his family. So it is a great trip. I suggest that you go to drrunoko.com, D-R-U-N-O-K-O. So both of these trips that I'm promoting, either or both, if you have that kind of money, it is well worth it. Well worth it. So, and I'll be promoting these trips until the time that it is time to go. So, Brother Baba Rinoko's trip is, of course, to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. I'm going to talk today about Africa must unite. You know, I'm going to talk about Africa uniting and how important it is for Africans to unite. But before I do that, I want to go over one of my good brother Conrad Worrell and one of his pieces. In fact, I'm going to take it from here. I'd rather take it from here. I can see this better. Okay. I read Baba Conrad and I used to read him long before I had an opportunity to meet him and to get to know him and to be a friend of Baba Conrad Worrell. And his articles would appear in the community newspaper back in Milwaukee, Milwaukee Community Journal. And, you know, if you're saying some things that, you know, that I grasp, that I can understand, that touch my mind and my heart as they're African-centered, I will be a consistent reader. I will be a consistent reader. And so I followed Dr. Conrad Worrell's articles for a very long time, one I still hand out all the time, that appeared. In fact, it was rewritten just recently, where Africa belongs, you know, to African people. Egypt belongs to African people. Egypt belongs to Africa. And what I seen the other day, the lies continue to be perpetuated. It doesn't make any difference, brothers and sisters. Today, yesterday, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, tomorrow, 50 years from now or 100 years from, is Caucasians telling it? It will never be right. The Caucasian lady put Kemet in the Middle East. Kemet, Egypt, is in Africa. No other place but Africa. The Nile River flows no other place but in Africa. The Suez Canal was created so they could easily move product, whatever that might be, from the so-called Middle East into the Mediterranean, so Europe could have access. So that's why I read every day on this program as a constant reminder, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought, to make sure that we're thinking. Because believe me, when you're bombarded 24/7, 365, and you don't have an understanding of who you are historically and culturally, you have no foundation, and of course you are trained to believe whatever the hell this system puts out. I was talking to a dear friend of mine this weekend. We were talking about what's happening to a coffee shop in Milwaukee. Coffee makes you black. And they've been having construction, road construction, that seems like nobody's around doing a damn thing for months. It'll be almost a year since they started this particular road project, and it's really hurting their business. They had to lay people off. Well, this past weekend, they had a groundswell of individuals, people who, whatever it took for them to get there, they got there. I just talked to her just recently. And it's difficult. It is extremely difficult. But I was talking to her. I was saying to her that I've given up. No desire to work with Caucasians. None. I have no desire at all. I believe fundamentally there is nothing we can do. We've tried. I know, Lord knows we have tried. We've begged, we've pleaded, we've marched, we sat in, we picketed, freedom riders, voting, all of these things. All of this stuff. And our condition today is worse than what it was decades ago. So my thing is, like every Monday and Wednesday and Friday, talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I will talk about African unity when we come back from the break, but I want to read Conrad's piece on reclaiming our youth, because it's important, because if we are to have a future, we must make a future. We must build that. We must get young people and work with them to prepare them. That's why I always promote Baba Barudi, because that's what he's doing. He's not preparing young folks so they can go to college and beg Caucasians for jobs. He's not doing that so young brothers and sisters can be competitive with each other while not doing a damn thing compared to the Caucasians that are running stuff. He's preparing brothers and sisters to think outside the so-called quote box, or as I like to say, think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us. He's preparing brothers and sisters to release that vice grip. And if you know that too, once that vice grip is set on your damn mind, there ain't a damn thing you can do until you get consciousness, knowledge, information about yourself. And the more you get, the more you're able to turn that knob at the end of the handle. In order to release a vice grip, there's a knob at the end of the handle. And the more you turn it, you release the tension and you can open the vice grip. And once that vice grip is open, no, you can't deal with Caucasians no more. Because you know, they ain't a damn thing we can say or do. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that they're superior. Everything they do is about that. No matter if there is, and there is, a plethora of information to the contrary. But yet, they are, you know, that is their mindset. They ignore, dismiss anything that doesn't fit with that narrative that they're bringing. Cognitive dissonance. They also suffer from European Caucasian fragility. As Dr. D'Angelo said, white fragility. They're fragile. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear about what they have done, they want to have some romanticized idea that they came here and brought civilization here, that they built great things, these beautiful cities, the skylines, the railroads, and all this, that, and the other, and nobody helped them do a damn thing. In fact, slavery was just an incident. In fact, you should be happy you're here. You should thank God you're here in America and not over in Africa. You should thank God that we're making you a new person. We're making you an American. and you have no allegiance. Caucasian fragility. No, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, even from Caucasians. You know they sure the hell don't want to hear it from us. And to not talk about reparations and any kind of repair for what they've done, oh, sickening. Evil. Evil. And, of course, European hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. The European hegemony. So, reclaiming our youth. Dr. Conrad Wuerl. This is the Crusader newsletter that comes out once a week. And, you know, I've read Dr. Conrad on many occasions, and I will continue to do so. Good friend. Had him on the program a few times, and we'll have him again. He dissed me the last time. He really did. I love Conrad. The impact of African people being captured into the captivity trade and introduced to the Western Hemisphere as property and commodity are at the root of the breakdown of African family. Our ancestors were extremely creative in many ways to develop families despite the captivity system established in this country. After captivity was abolished, the African family continued to be creative in developing family life. However, the more we began to emulate our former captives, the worse the internal social conditions of the African people became. Today, these conditions are at an all-time low. We have thousands of American African children today who have virtually no positive family input into their development. This has resulted in what we are witnessing with so many of our youth, total lack of positive family-orientated input. In this regard, Eugenie Eugene Perkins, and I met Eugenie Eugene Perkins many years ago. He's out of Chicago. He's a renowned poet, playwright, and social practitioner who wrote Harvesting New Generations, The Positive Development of American African Youth, which was published by Third World Press and is a book we should all read. Harvesting New Generations addresses the issues of our youth in historical, theoretical, and practical context. In this book, Brother Perkins thoroughly deals with the challenge of reclaiming our youth through positive African-centered program development. Brother Perkins, or Eugenie, as he is called by most who know him, begins a wealth of experience, research, and study to harvesting new generations that is reflected throughout the book. Eugenie is the editor of Black Child Journal, and his book, Home is a Dirty Street, was cited by Lerone Bennett Jr. as one of the most important books on the sociology of the streets since publication of Black Metropolis. Brother Perkins was the former executive director of the Better Boys Foundation Family Center in Chicago and is currently a social service consultant. Eugenie combines his professional expertise and experience as a trained social worker and a community organizer with that of a creative artist and writer. Harvesting New Generations give the American African community a beginning prescription for addressing the problems of our youth. Brother Perkins points out that the rites of passage was perhaps the most important stage in an African boy's life, for it not only indoctrinated him with the spiritual and cultural manifestations of his people's tradition, but was a catalyst. But was a catalyst that, sorry about that, family, but was the catalyst cultural manifestation of a people's tradition, but was a catalyst that consummated his manhood. African girls participated in a similar type of training during their puberty, which prepared them for womanhood. Womanhood carried with its great importance in African society, and each society helped to prepare a girl for this important role. Brother Perkins observed that in contemporary American African, the only ceremony that approximates the African youth rites of passage may be the coronation, which introduced young men and women to the American African middle class. you know, the sororities and fraternities, you know, they have those coming out. Yeah. However, this is primarily an elitist affair. Remember, I just read about that, elitist, training our people to think and act elitist, that they're somehow better than the other Africans because they're most close associated with Caucasians, Caucasian jobs and middle incomes and so forth, live in those areas and whatever. Yeah. However, this is primarily an elitist affair that focuses on social status rather than social development. Reclaiming our youth involves reestablishing and creating rites of passage concepts of for Africans in America. Youth that become the basis for all youth program development. A few Africans in America began this process by establishing Simba for boys and Fulani for girls, rites of passage youth programs. Some of these examples are cited in Harvesting New Generations. Again, Brother Perkins emphasizes that the family and its extended relationships play an important role in rearing of African youth. The African youth was center of the family life, and its socialization became the shared responsibilities of all family members. I strongly suggest that you purchase Harvesting New Generations and spread the word about this powerful book, and we continue to seek ways to reclaim our youth. We must harvest new generations if our culture is to survive and to develop. Dr. Conrad Wuerl, and giving brother some good love. Yeah. So I want to really thank all those who have been listening and continue to listen. I hope and pray that you do so. It's important because what we're doing is for the future of African people. What we're doing is trying to make sure that we as African people are prepared to do all that we can and must to help develop us as a people, to prepare us to take our place in the vanguard, to prepare us to bridge all the many divisions, all the ties, and to bring them together as African people. I remember hearing people talk about the African century and this and that, the United Nations, the African, all this stuff is like symbolism without substance. We need the substance, and the substance is preparing. The substance is developing educational programs. The substance is the physical work that needs to be done. Rhetoric and cliches and slogans, okay. I know that into beginning to develop that mind, you need some words and some phrases and some things that do that. But, I mean, really, we must and should be beyond that. We have a caller, 267. No, we don't. They jumped right off. They got scared. If you ain't scared, call right back. You know? Yeah. I tell you, you know, I really want us to do all that we can to prepare ourselves for the things that are upcoming. But I don't want us to do that individually. I want us to do it collectively. We are a collective people. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire. Individualism. Individualism is so deep within Caucasians is that even though there's a wide disparity economically, we know the humongous gap that between Caucasians and us. That schism is huge, bigger than the Grand Dam Canyon. But there's also amongst Caucasians. But Caucasians have been trained, like we've been trained, to believe it is more important for the individual than the collective. And so, therefore, they don't want redistribution of wealth. No. They believe that they too, through whatever magic, inheritance, luck, lottery, whatever, that they too can be like the 10% or possibly even the 1% of the 10%. They too believe it. And they especially don't want wealth going to us. Caucasians, if you take a poll honestly and seriously about damage done to Africans and some remedies to correct it, with maybe free education and no taxes being paid, you know, building better housing, better community health centers, all kinds of things that could be done to improve our situation, they would be adamant against them. They would be adamant. But yet, we still want to be here. We want to, you know, we just be like, this is just as much as our country as it is theirs. We fought and died for this. Our ancestors. It's like I told a sister the other day about voting. I said, my ancestors didn't die and get killed so I could vote for the same Caucasians that killed them. And to vote into a system that I can't even change. No, they didn't. And so our situation, and I'll, you know, you might have some folks who might point to what a vote here or there, particularly on a local level, you know, what that can do. But the reality is there's nowhere in this country, brothers and sisters, I don't give a damn how good, how much we voted, that we honestly have complete control. We cannot be independent. We cannot be self-determining. We cannot be liberty, and we sure in hell can't be sovereign in this country. There is no place. There's no place like it was in 1921 Wall Street. There's no place like it was in Rosewood. Nope. There is no place in Boley, like Boley, Oklahoma, or Elaine, Arkansas. And even the more contemporary ones like the Haiti community in Raleigh, Durham, or hell, even the American African community in Milwaukee. Those are destroyed through model cities, interstates going right through the heart of them. There is no place. And of course, we all know, I just read to you about saving our children. And one of the main factors why our children, because of lack of family life. That's why these problems will persist and they will become greater. The only thing that we can do is be able to release that vice grip, step outside those imposed boundaries, and begin to do for ourselves. Begin to challenge each other to be the kind of man and woman that we must be, of an honesty and integrity and commitment. Commitment. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, brothers and sisters, we'll talk about why Africa must unite. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Grover Washington Jr., Mr. Magic, one of the first jazz pieces that really did a crossover piece, and I think you would agree with that. Became very popular. I mean, you know, I was working in a club as a bouncer, and that was one of the top songs that constantly played. Folks on the dance floor jamming to Mr. Magic, Grover Washington Jr. You're listening to the African Perspectives here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12. Well, I'm not going to go through that. I'm just going to run it down like this. African Perspectives every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following African Perspectives on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds from 8 to 6, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers tomorrow, Tuesday, from 8 to 10. Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10 as well. Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday, the Warren Ballantyne Show, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. Every Monday through Friday, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers. That was great reading that piece by Conrad, preparing our young people, you know, rites of passage programs. And some of these rites of passage programs need to be developed with a deep African center, just because you can bring a young person and now that young person is a better student, you know, has a little more knowledge than before. But if you don't strengthen that young student with knowledge of self, with a clear understanding who he is culturally and who he is historically or her, then that young student will fall prey. Because the bottom line is, we at this time don't have enough African-centered education. I believe we should have African-centered education as a foundation. And I'm talking about from preschool, maybe up to before you get into junior high area. That would be great. Because once you get there and you have that group as a foundation, then whoever teaches you, you know what to expect and you know what to do. You know what to give them. You're not bothered by all the lies that are being perpetrated because you know. You know, I was talking to another brother recently about, you know, Juneteenth Day, and I saw Brother Johnson at the where did I see Brother Johnson just recently? Oh, yeah, at the festival, at the RBG Festival, Red, Black, and Green Festival, located on Abernathy last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but last Saturday. Didn't get a chance to talk with him much, but I definitely wanted to help him. But, you know, I have the mixed feelings about Juneteenth Day. After all, what it really celebrates is the fact that these Caucasians got 2.5 more years of free labor out of our people, you know, which is I'm very upset about. But I think we shouldn't celebrate nothing but one thing, and that's African Liberation Day. Yes, Kwanzaa is important. Yes, I believe in celebrating Kwanzaa. But more importantly, I believe in putting the Kwanzaa principles into our everyday lives. We don't have to celebrate a damn thing if we had those principles in our everyday lives. If we work towards unity, if we believed in self-determination, we believe in working together, we believe in spending money with each other, we understood our purpose, we understood our creativity, and we have faith, not just in an entity and a God higher than ourselves, but we have faith in ourselves and each other. I believe in those principles. I exercise those principles every day of my life. But I also know what we're operating in. And I also know the constant attacks on us as African people. So a recent article just came out on myonline.com. myjoyonline.com. Okay. Africa will never develop without one federal government, the EFL leader stated. This is dated just a few days ago. Ghana's left-wing political movement, Economic Fighters League, EFL, Economics Fighters League, have made a clear case for United Continent, stressing it is the only way Africans can achieve true economic development. It was true when Kwame Nkrumah said it upon leading Ghana from the clutches of colonialism in 1957. And it is true today. It will be true tomorrow. The only way Africa can succeed is the development of a unified Africa. Africa must unite. The leader, Ernesto Kofi Yomboa, Brother Nyambora, observed that while Africans are fighting amongst themselves, its wealth is being carted off by Europeans and Western powers. He spoke at the first West African Peace Dialogue on September 20th, 2019, just a few days ago, in Accra. It was organized by African Center for Peace Building, Ghana, Global Educators for All Initiatives, Nigeria, URI West African, and the Emmanuel Ibongi Foundation. The Nkrumahs spoke on the topic, xenophobic attacks in South Africa, Ghana-Nigeria trade feud, what it means for African unity. Ernesto Yomboa, known within the group as Commander-in-Chief, pointed out two main stumbling blocks to African prosperity, its physical borders and mental conditioning that sees a fellow African as a foreigner. The physical borders. When you look at a political map, you see all kinds of lines that are drawn on the political map. If you look at Africa, those lines were not drawn by Africans. They were drawn by Europeans, particularly at the Berlin Conference of 1884-85, when they sliced up Africa like a cake. Ernesto noted that every country in Africa is having serious boundary disputes or border management challenges, and mentioned places like the Lomé Triangle dispute between Sudan and Kenya, the Napale boundary dispute between Kenya and South Sudan, the dispute over Lake Malawi between Tanzania and Malawi, the dispute over the Miungu Islands between Kenya and Uganda, maritime disputes between the Cameroon and Nigeria, territorial disputes on the islands of between Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. Let us quote from Kwame Nkrumah when he told his fellow African leaders in 1963 in Addis Ababa, "There is hardly any African state without foreign problems with its adjacent neighbors," he said, endorsing the insight of Africa's first president, Ghana's first president, Kwame Nkrumah. Well, you know, that's a good time for me to break away and read this. You know, in fact, I'm going to continue on with the article, of course, but this is always important, as far as I'm concerned, to read, because it is the problem that we face. When Kwame Nkrumah spoke at the Freedom Conference in 1961, He said, I believe strongly and sincerely that the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. 1961. When he said this, I should research it because I'm not sure. But then he says, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common solution and a common purpose, we shall be wrangling and haggling all amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. So as I'm reading this, keep what he said in mind. I'm going to take a call. Caller 678, caller 678, good afternoon. Caller 678, good afternoon. I guess he is or she is still just want to listen. That's cool, too. That's cool, too. If you want to have something to say, just hang up and call back. Yeah, that'll work. Hang up and call back. Let us quote from Nkrumah when he told his fellow African leaders in 63 in Addis Ababa, there is hardly any African state without foreign problems with its adjacent neighbors. Endorsing the insight of Ghana's first president, Kwame Nkrumah, he also rejected the term xenophobia, used to describe the violence meted out by South Africans against other Africans living and working there. A recent episode of this violence led to the deterioration of diplomatic ties between Nigerians and South Africans. New reports said at least two Africans died and several others got injured. Shops were looted by South Africans who had blamed other Africans of lack of economic opportunities. Nigerians, several hundreds, have voluntarily left South Africa since the incident began in early September. Ernesto Yeboah said, what is happening in South Africa is not xenophobia, but rather, well, he says, Afrophobia. Well, you know, Afro is a hairdo. So, no, it's Afrophobia. Afrophobia. That's what this is. The fear of Africans, not the fear of a hairdo. Xenophobia is a general fear and hostility towards foreigners. In South Africa, Europeans are not being attacked. In South Africa, Americans are not being attacked. In South Africa, it's Africans who are being attacked. So this hostility is against Africans, and we must call it for what it is, Afrophobia. The Nkrumah said the only solution is for Africans to see themselves as victims of a global economic chain that is keen on maintaining the divide, and therefore they could be easily ruled, divide and conquer. Such a reorientation will allow them to see the importance of closing ranks by removing its imposed borders and embracing a new political system of unity, a united continent in the form of a federal government. Federated States of Africa. At the Economic Fighters League, we are clear in our own minds about this. As Nkrumah, we believe in an Africa united under one federal government, one central defense, one foreign currency, one foreign policy, one citizenship, one market. Whichever way you look at it, African unity is the only way we can reach the promised land. Clearly. No doubt about it. Undeniable. Unity. There will be no Afrophobia in South Africa against Nigerians or Ghanaians or Zimbabweans. There will be no law in Ghana that sees Nigerians as foreigners. There will be no border disputes between Ghana and the and Cote d'Ivoire or between Kenya and Uganda, because we will be just one African citizen, first and foremost. No theology. That's what I keep saying. All the divisions that would divide African people. If you are a Muslim, fine. A Christian, fine. Practicing traditional African religions, Ifa or whatever, Igbo, whatever, fine. But what's most important is that you are African. And you want to work and make sure that Africa is stable, is prosperous. Your land is good, is healthy. Your water, your air, your development, all of it for the benefit of Africa and Africans. With these behind us, we will spend our time and energy solving many problems and harnessing our enormous potential instead of fighting amongst ourselves while our wealth is being stolen. Brother Ernesto played a role in a movement that compelled Parliament to shelve a plan to build a new chamber and has been campaigning against the introduction of genetically modified foods, the GMOs. The EFL has called for replacement of Ghana's 1992 constitution with one that, among other things, allowed for proportional representation systems of election. The fighters also organized blood donation exercise to support the Korolebu Blood Bank. A member of the EFL, Ibikwe Adams, was recently awarded in the MTN Heroes of Change for his voluntary work in stocking an empty library in a senior high school in the Central Region. Xenophobic attacks Afrophobic attacks in South Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, trade feud, what it all means for African unity. I would like to thank African Centered for Peacekeeping Building Ghana, Global Educators for All Initiatives in Nigeria, URI West African, and the Emmanuel Bugo Foundation, the organizers of this event, for inviting me to speak. Greetings to everyone from the Economic Fighters League. What we are discussing today is very dear to us. The concept of African unity is at the heart of what we do, and is exhilarating to know that other organizations are putting it at the forefront. The issue is more relevant now than it's ever been before. The Economic Fighters League is a radical, revolutionary, nonpartisan, and Nkrumah's movement fighting against a system in place, a system which ensures that only a few are enjoying the wealth of the nation while the majority are suffering. We must crush this system. We are fighting for a Ghana and Africa which own and control their resources. We are fighting currently. Our resources are owned and controlled by the Caucasian capital monopoly. A Ghana and Africa where the wealth of the nation is distributed in such a way as to serve the necessities of all rather than the luxuries of a few. A Ghana and Africa where there is a basic standard of living for all. I want to say this because I've been to Ghana many times, and what this brother is saying is deep. The problems is immense. It's immense. But it's not something that cannot be done. But if they continue to have the same kind of leadership, it hurt me. It hurt me to my heart to go to Ghana. And it's been 20 years. Nothing has changed. There's no better infrastructure today than it was 20 years ago. Garvey Town, which was supposed to be initiated 10 years ago, is no further along today than it was when it was the idea to make it happen. Power outages, lack of infrastructure, roads, even the main roads. You're driving on a paved road. Next thing you know, you dip in bumps and craters and all kind of stuff. The misleadership, not just in Ghana, but throughout Africa. We need a cadre of leadership on the continent that will be a group of brothers and sisters that will manage the continent. A unified force. A federal United States of Africa. To achieve these, we must recognize that we have to work with our brothers and sisters for a concerted and unified African effort for economic emancipation. This is because the system oppressing us operates on an international scale, and it is only through unity that we can defeat it. The struggles of Africans in Ghana is no different from the struggles of Africans in Nigeria or in the Sudan or in the Congo or in any damn else on place on the continent. This is what we mean when we say we are Nkrumah or Pan-Africanism. That is the total liberation and unity of Africa has in one of the three objectives of Nkrumahism, the other two being nationalism and scientific socialism. I ain't got no problem with none of that. I know some people, they have a problem with even hearing the word socialism, especially as they have done recently because of the squad, particularly a few of the people in the squad who understand that this ugly capitalism that is so unjust and so unfair and so evil has to be, something has to be done. But believe me, it will not be done. Not in this country. It will not be done. You know. This is what we mean when we say we are Nkrumahs as Pan-Africanists. It is our pursuance of this noble idea that when disaster struck Sierra Leone in 2018, we mobilized relief items and sent them to them in solidarity. Likewise, when a cyclone ravaged Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Mali 6 months ago, we again collaborated with the Think African Institute to mobilize relief items. Ladies and gentlemen, we are having this conversation at a time when attacks on fellow Africans in South Africa is still fresh in our minds. Let me point out that we at the Economic Fighters League, the EFL, are not calling what happened in South Africa xenophobia. What it really is Afrophobia. Xenophobia is a general fear and hostility towards foreigners. In South Africa, Europeans are not being attacked. Americans are not being attacked. It is Africans who are being attacked. So this hostility is, again, Africans, and we must call it for what it is, Afrophobia, not Afrophobia. Afro is a hairdo. Afrophobia, fear of Africans. In our press release on the issue, we condemned the attacks and unreserved and called on African governments to unite in action against South African government, which constitute and continues to deny the existence of this problem, let alone deal with it. We also reiterated our position that no African should be a foreigner on African soil. I repeat, no African should be a foreigner on African soil. And no African in the diaspora who reaches African soil is a foreigner. We're coming home. But before South African incidents, we had to issue similar statements in the past. Specifically, on 17 June this year, we condemned the sensational media association of our Nigerian brothers and sisters with crime in Ghana. This followed the arrest of some Ghanaians involved in criminal activities. Within the same week, Nigerian traders were attacked, their shops closed at Sesumi in the Shanti region by people who purported to be enforcing a law on trading in Ghana. That law, the Ghana Investment Promotion Center Act, reserves retail businesses only to Ghanaians. And if a non-Ghanaian wishes to do retail business, they will have to own a certain minimum initial capital. They will have to have a own initial minimal amount of capital. Laws like that abound across Africa and is very worrying. The law in Ghana, like many others, defines nations from other African countries as foreigners. Therefore, to the GIPC Act, a Nigerian or the Togolese is just like a Chinese or Briton. And that's not right. And that doesn't make sense. Again, the effect of this law is to keep the Africans focused on bones of the economy and fighting among ourselves while Caucasian people, the real foreigners, take away the meat. Let me give an example. What are the main drivers of Ghana's economy? Spare parts? No. Fish? No. Tomatoes? Clothing? No. These goods do not value up to even a quarter of the value produced by the main drivers of the economy. But these are the ones that have been reserved for us. And we have been pitched against our brothers and sisters fighting and wrangling while the real meat is taken away. The main drivers of Ghana's economy are gold, oil, and cocoa. I think it was my second or third trip to Ghana. I saw all three in operation. I saw all three in operation. I was in the Ashanti region. And, of course, you know, that's where the Ashanti king, who was draped in gold, and all the gold from the Ashanti region. I went to an area, saw one of the offshore oil drilling apparatus in operation. And I was at a cocoa farm. I hate the word plantation. I was at a cocoa farm. Because these words, when you say them, what does it conjure up? And the express intent of Europeans implying these words wants you to think in that way. That's why they constantly push that word slave on us and making us believe that our ancestors were not slaves. And so sitting in that cocoa farm, I was just thinking, you know, here the raw materials are, but yet it leaves here and it goes to Europe, to Switzerland, Swiss chocolate, and England, Cadbury's and Nestle's and Mars and all that other stuff. Yeah. These are owned and controlled by Caucasian monopoly capital. Take gold, for instance. More than 70% of the gold production and export is controlled by five multinational companies of Euro-American origin. The story is not different from what pertains in our oil sector. In fact, this situation is not only in Ghana, but the whole of Africa. Our natural resources primarily benefits foreigners more than they benefit us. Kwame Nkrumah warned us about this in his book, Class Struggle in Africa, published in 1970, when he wrote, Africa is a paradox which illustrates the highest non- and neocolonialism. Her heart is rich. Her earth is rich. Yet the products from that come from above and below. The soil continued to enrich not Africans predominantly, but groups of individuals who operate to impoverish Africa. I am bringing this quote to help us understand that we are not just dealing with isolated incidents of attacks in South Africa and closing shops in Ghana. We are dealing with a system of interconnected, interdependent parts working toward keeping us down. This system is what Kwame Nkrumah describes as neocolonialism. It is a symbol by which our economies are controlled, not by us, but by external forces. With this realization, we will be able to know that these issues, whether you call them trade feuds or Afrophobia, represents just one part of the problem. Another is a border dispute. Recently, we have a caller. I'll take it, this caller. Good afternoon, caller.
Good afternoon, my brother. Just calling to check. Thank you. Doing a great show. I'm enjoying it. I always do.
Right on, brother. Franklin Jones, brothers and sisters, the Black People Matrix. He's going to follow this program at 1 p.m., from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays, Brother Franklin Jones with the Black People's Matrix. So, Brother Franklin, are you on Facebook or jail again, man, or are you being able to...
I got out yesterday.
okay, man.
On the average, I stay out of jail 7 days. After that, I'm back in jail again.
Yeah, well, listen, man, you keep pumping out truth. You keep pumping out on the real, no jokes aside.
You know what Zabrinsky said about that? Zabrinsky said that the ruling elites have never been more fearful than they are now.
Yeah.
Because the masses now have access to information.
Right.
And they say this is the first time in human history this has ever been the case. Mm-hmm. Because the ruling elite's power is that they control the narrative. But now we have access to information. And I think if our people recognize how important it is, they'll stop just looking at videos of girls twerking or just making crazy stuff, but start spreading and learning information. Mm-hmm. And so I love doing it. That's what your program is about.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's what Time for an Awakening is about, what this platform is, and that mostly all the shows bring out information to help us make good, conscious decisions about ourselves, our family, our community, and the African world.
Exactly,
and we need that on a daily basis, so we thank you for it, too.
You know, and the importance of it can never be overstated. Those who don't recognize the importance of it are those who perhaps are ignorant to the reality that, you know, we live in a time now to share information, to share truth. For example, many Africans look at African-Americans through the eyes of the white America creates, and many of us look at Africans through the eyes that white America shows us. But now we can communicate globally, so we can hear who we truly are and not the caricatures that the white man creates to keep us divided. And it's a powerful thing where we're at right now.
It really is. And we who are on this case, you know, we need to drive it home consistently. You know, that's why to me, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that's what I do. I know every Monday, Wednesday, that's what you do, because it's important.
But what you do is very important. I mean, those who don't get it, it's extremely important to the mental liberation of our people.
Right.
It's extremely important because they did a number on us.
Yes, you know, they have.
Spreading all this misinformation. People are running around confused. Brother, you keep doing what you're doing. The ancestors will continue to bless you.
I appreciate that, dear brother. Thank you so much. I have another call. If you want to stick around, please do, okay? Have another call. I know you got to get prepared for yourself. Your program's on in 20 minutes.
Peace and love, my brother.
All right, peace to you. That's Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. He'll be on today from 1 to 3. He's going to call in, and I hope that he gets his call and service together so he can get some calls and you brothers and sisters can get a hold of him. 602, good afternoon.
Yeah, Brother Oshi, good afternoon. Brother Marcus here.
Hey, my dear friend, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, good brother. So, on this question of trade, now, to some degree, we have to blame the people, the leadership on the continent, because, some of those products, that's, minerals and stuff like that, so it's in Africa. They should market it through us here. You see, if we had some relationship with them, economic relationship, they should market the product through us here in the West, all right, in the U.S. here, which is the most thriving market, right? You get the best price, you see?
Mm-hmm.
If they had us as partners.
Right.
You see what I'm
saying? And that's what they're supposed to have. That's what they should develop.
Exactly. So, look, you got to go to our brother there in America. Then we would get the market prices. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then we help develop. But they're so damn greedy.
That's right.
And stupid. Okay, because that's what it is, ignorance and stupidity. They go and make relationship with these people who give them peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they get peanuts for the resources. You
that's
see what
right.
I'm saying? So, to some degree, they're at fault too. You know what I'm saying? It's just just a lot of ignorance, my brother. I'm telling the truth, you know. So, you know, I don't know who, you know, when we our people gonna really get it, where the leadership over there gonna get it.
Right. Well, I agree.
You know, maybe we have to get a big broom and sweep them out.
Yes, sir.
I think that's really. And then look, they don't even say, look, all right, the Asian or anybody coming to do business with them, they give them 100%, and they say, all right, you can come set up 100%. No, you tell them, look, we want to be your partner. We'll be 51-49.
You're right.
Okay, so you know,
yeah, 51% us, 49% them. That. Yeah.
Exactly. They're not even doing that. They give them, you know, they get 10% and they cart out the rest. It's not supreme ignorance, my brother.
Yep.
You know, so I think we have to save Africa here.
That's right. We have every right and obligation to save Africa, much as anybody else. That's why I believe in the forthcoming Pan-African conferences that are being scheduled and things that are happening. We must begin to move in that direction.
Yes.
What I'm reading here is real and must be implemented, and that is the United States of Africa. That is an African, true African union, regardless of whatever territory or boundaries that Europeans have drawn with this express purpose to divide and conquer us and to manipulate and undermine and to control our resources. We must control them ourselves. We must finally step up and be men and women to do that. I appreciate you, Brother Marcus. You have a blessed and wonderful day, brother.
All right.
You too. Peace to you. Once again, let us quote from Kwame Nkrumah when he told his fellow African leaders in 63 in Addis Ababa. This is hardly an African state without frontier problems with its adjacent neighbors. It would be futile for me to enumerate them because they are already familiar to us. Let me suggest to you, Your Excellency, that this fatal relic of colonialism will drive us to war against one another as our unplanned and uncoordinated industrial development expands, just as happened in Europe. Unless we succeed in arresting the danger through mutual understanding on fundamental issues and through African unity, which will render existing boundaries obsolete and superfluous, we shall have fought in vain for independence. Only African unity can heal this festering sore of boundary disputes between our various states. Another issue is the way we as ordinary Africans see one another. These boundaries were not created by us. And do you think those who created them were doing that to serve our interests? Certainly not. These were deliberate acts of theft by those who wanted to steal our wealth, who saw the only way to have their way was to divide us. They succeeded until today. We have those mental boundaries that make Africans in Ghana see Africans in Nigeria as strange and different. But if division is the weapon employed by colonialism and neocolonialism, then the only way to defeat this problem is unity. In his book, Neocolonialism, The Last Stage of Imperialism, Nkrumah wrote, all methods of neocolonialism have pointed in one direction, the ancient accepted one of all minority ruling classes throughout the history, divide and rule. Quite obviously, therefore, unity is the first requisite for destroying neocolonialism. I repeat, unity is the first requisite for destroying neocolonialism. Unity. At the Economic Fighters League, EFL, we are clear in our minds about this. As in Krumah's, we believe in a African united under one federal government, one central defense, one foreign policy, one currency, one citizenship, one market. Whatever way you look at it, African unity is the only way we can reach the promised land. United, there will be no Afrophobia in South Africa against Nigerians or Ghanaians or Zimbabweans. There will be no law in Ghana that sees Nigerians as foreigners. There will be no border disputes between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire or between Kenya and Uganda, because we will all be just African citizens. With this behind us, we will spend our time and energy solving our many problems and harnessing our enormous potential instead of fighting amongst ourselves while our wealth is being stolen. Brothers and sisters, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Africa must unite. Asante Sana. Asante Sana. Africa must unite. Because if we don't, we will, you know. So I'm hoping that we understand this, but more importantly, we begin to act on this. Like I say, to me, I'm gearing up. I'm going to push the hell out of African Liberation Day, May 25th of next year. I'm not sure all the things I may do about it, but one thing is for certain. If you listen to this program, you know I may have flyers out in the community because we need to support African Liberation Day as the most important day of observance than any other day that we have as African people. More than Kwanzaa, more than Juneteenth. What are some other? Malcolm X's birthday, Marcus Garvey Day. Now, all of those days point to African unity, but there is a specific day that has been created. And we need to support it. I ain't saying don't support none of the others or don't have them as days to be observed. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that African unity is more important than anything that we do on this planet at this moment if we are to be a free and self-determining and sovereign people. Because coming out of the African Unity Day, all those things being discussed, I remember I said that at the Garvey Festival. I had an opportunity to speak at the Marcus Garvey tribute here in Atlanta, held outside of the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Nice place. It was nice. You know, it was hot that day. It's the hottest. It's always hot. But the place that we were shaded pretty well, you know, had some small amount of vendors, which is cool. You know, not a big crowd, which is not cool, but hey, it is what it is. But for those who were there, who were meant to be there, they were there. You know, I made the connection between how important Marcus Garvey is to African liberation. And I mentioned our co-op, Us Lifting Us, is a great example of Garveyism, of doing for self, of supporting cooperative economics, supporting co-ops. We have a lot of work to do. Every day you're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your inferiority that you have to fight off every day, particularly here in America, but even on the continent. They can't continue to do what they have done if it wasn't impactful on a daily basis. That's why, just as strong as they impose it on us, we must have the strength to repel it. We must have the strength to go against it. We must be the examples. Like I told a sister, I said to her, I have zero faith at all in this country ever doing what's right by us. I am out. That's why I love the movie Get Out. Because that's what we're supposed to do, brothers. We're supposed to get out. Just as those Caucasians in that movie were taking our minds and putting into taking the minds of the Caucasians and putting them into African bodies to function, because their bodies were deteriorating. I mean, have you seen the movie? You know? But even at that movie was talking about what? Organ harvesting. And that's what? Real. That's real. See, brothers and sisters, you're not supposed to look at You're supposed to be mesmerized by all the, quote, aesthetics. All the buildings and the landscapes and all the other things. It's systems of governance and then idolize the people of entertainers and athletes and the wealth of entertainers and athletes. And then be controlled by whatever clothing, whatever styles, whatever movements that the Caucasians say that it is acceptable to emulate that. Challenge you, dear brothers and sisters. I challenge you. I challenge you to get into your right mind and spread that information. You know, you don't have to have a radio program. But wherever you go, be that example. Talk with our young people. Help them understand that they're not the thugs and criminals, and the sisters are not the, you know, whatever they say about them and about the young men and women. They're not that. And to hell with anything that this society has to say about us, because it will never say nothing good. The narrative will never be in our favor. Because they will always divide and conquer. Anytime you just, the article I just read, where in Africa, Ghanaians are after Nigerians, and Nigerians in South Africa are being murdered, and, you know, and because what? The Caucasian who still run South Africa, they wanted some expertise. Nigerians had the expertise. The brothers and sisters who are not, who are poorly educated, did not have the expertise in South Africa that the Caucasians who are running South Africa needed. And as a consequence, the South African brothers and sisters were envious and jealous instead of saying, hey, give us better education, give us better training to become partners in this government. No, because wherever the Caucasian, you will not ever be partners. You will always be a side piece. You will always be on a margin. You will always be relegated. You will always be appropriated. You will never, I repeat, never be a part of this system in an equitable manner. It is not designed for you. This system was shaped and fashioned in the interests of Europeans, for Europeans, by Europeans. And Dr. Clark says there's nothing in the European mind that was ever meant for anything but for the European to dominate and control. They have no empathy. They have no sympathy. They are amoral. They are liars. Well, not all of them, Brother Oshi. There's some, hey, listen, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the Caucasian collective. I ain't talking about a few Caucasian people that hang with you that are probably family members that are wedded to your brother or sister or stuff like that. Or the Caucasian I work with when I coach football. He was a conservative Caucasian. He don't even believe in climate change. I don't know. I think he might believe in now. I don't know. I don't give a damn. I know one thing. In my relationship with him and working with our kids, helping to prepare them to understand how football is played and how working together in that game prepares you, I had no problem. We had a little tete-a-tete in terms of how things should be done. But hell, I was the head coach. And so, you know, if I felt it should be this way, we talk about it, and hey. And if I felt that I was wrong in something, it was still my way. Although, I mean, you know, what I did was what was best. And he had the same mindset in terms of what was best to help these young people. And when I coached, I didn't charge them a dime. I got to get off. Brothers and sisters, you've been listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivivahodio means our victorious destiny. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. See you on Wednesday.